Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Good morning and welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm your host, Dave Gagan, and this is where we try to simplify spirituality. Our goal is to help each of us expand our consciousness by giving us something new to think about each week. If we can just get one new thought to ponder, it will allow us to see ourselves and our lives differently. Today, our guest is a woman who is capable of talking to deceased spirits. The show is titled Communicating with Heaven, and our guest is Laura Lee. Laura is an internationally renowned spirit medium and has been a popular keynote speaker across the country and has been on stage with many spiritual luminaries. Laura has appeared as a medium on The Learning Channel, Fox, NBC, PBS, and The Discovery Channel. She was a popular radio co-host on LA's Angels in Waiting and Radio Medium. Laura connected callers to their loved ones on California's Afterlife radio show for several years before returning to her hometown to become a regular co-host psychic on Magic 100.7 morning show. Laura is a mother first and foremost. She is also a network executive producer for shows on her radio networks, which are under Laura Lee Productions, Inc., and include Coach Me Radio, Spirit Guide Radio, and Heal Me Radio. As a medium, she demonstrates how our path is illuminated with miracles when we listen, trust, and follow our inner guidance. Laura makes her mission to positively impact the lives she touches by dispelling fear and inspiring more love in the world. Thanks for being with us today, Laura.
Well, thanks for that long intro. I've stepped away from the producing for a while, and I actually can breathe clearly now for a while. So yeah. it's a full time job, isn't it, Dave?
It is a full time job.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to be a retired guy, but you know, what can I tell you?
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Well, it's fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. I get to meet and talk to people like yourself, which is just plain a lot of fun, and it makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Now you have a capability that most people would love to have. At least I think so.
You think?
What do you think?
That's a good question, because I think it's mixed out there. I think if they had it, I think a lot of people couldn't handle it, because it's not, you know, it's a curse, but it's also a gift. But
the curse, is it a 24-hour type of thing?
Or? Yeah, the curse is that it's 24 hours, and it's not always pretty. And it's not pretty what you see, because, you know, you experience the pain and the trauma that, you know, these spirits go through sometimes, disconnecting, you know, from the plane of existence we all know as Earth and into, you know, spiritual existence, and leaving loved ones and things unresolved. And it's even emotional, just connecting with, you know, the loved ones left behind because they think they're gone forever, you know. So that's where the curse is sometimes it's so painful.
Do the spirits feel that emotion, or is it the people that are left behind that feel this emotion?
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's mostly the people left behind, because when they're in spirit form, they're there with us. You know, they're in an existence that overlaps ours, which is hard to explain. But that's the best way I see it, is they're right among us. But it's hard for us to connect because we have this veil. And the people here are, you know, feeling that disconnect and disassociation. But quite honestly, we're all making connections to them every day, but we disregard it because we rationalize those experiences away, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you really think that we do feel that we just don't understand what it is? Is that
no?
Is?
Yeah, you don't understand. It's a disregard. It's a disconnect to realize that we all are spiritual beings. We all have that connection. But on a day-to-day experience, let's say, you know, you're driving in your car. This is probably a good example. You're driving in your car and you're thinking about your dad who crashed last Christmas and the song that comes on that connects you with your dad, that always reminds you of your dad, and you start bawling. Well, that's your dad reaching out to you to make that connection to you, you know, to remind you he's there. So, I mean, and those are, you know, to help you realize that you're being supported on your journey, because the heart connection is so strong. That's the primary instrument we make that connection to our loved ones on the other side. And during this time of year, it's so much more intense because it's the holidays. And, you know, there's so much pressure to be with your family and to be around those that you loved. And they're missed dearly during this holiday season.
Yeah, they really are. And you know, the holidays, you know, they're supposed to be fun and enjoyable. And usually they are. But when you've lost somebody, it's and they're not around, or even if you're somewhere else in there and it's somebody that's still living and they're not around, you know, they could be pretty depressing times of the year.
Yes. 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 Because we think.
Go ahead.
Because we think we're alone.
Yeah.
We're never alone.
Yeah, that's something that if we could just remember that we're never alone, you know, that would get rid of an awful lot of fears, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It would.
Now, can you decide when you want to talk to somebody in the spirit world, or do they decide?
Well, both. It can go both ways. It's like telephone. So when I'm visiting with somebody and they've given me permission to visit with them, because I'm not like some of the mediums we've seen on TV who just walk up to people. I'm really about respecting people's boundaries unless they're really ready and prepared to walk up to me. And they give me that permission to open that door. I'll call upon the spirits that are there for them in that moment, or who's there present, because there's always somebody there.
Is that
always,
right?
Yeah, always somebody there, and that has to communicate a message. And it's usually because, you know, they've come there to help support them through something that they're going through at that moment in time. And that can include, let's say, somebody you used to know in your past, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague that, you know, is bringing forth some sort of message or skill set to help you during your journey and your life journey. Because, you know, our journey here is perhaps the miracle that we all overlook, because, you know, every day we're dealing with our garbage and we're seeing in the world what, you know, we're doing to ourselves and other people, and it's so destructive. But really, we're here to experience and learn, and we've got the support teams on the other side that are guiding us to make the experience worthwhile.
Yeah. Now the spirits that come through, mm-hmm. are they ever coming through to help themselves, or are they always coming through to help somebody in the living earth?
I think it's both. It goes two ways, because sometimes they're earthbounded and they're attached because the grieving recipient here on the physical plane can't let go. So, and, you know, when I work with people, let's say traditional therapy doesn't work for somebody who's grieving, or they don't even go see a therapist, and they might see a medium. A medium to me is like an alternative therapist. You know, it's not for everybody, but sometimes we help those individuals who stand, you know, before us to help release their attachment so that they can be free. And that would help also, that helps the spirit in turn also go on. But that doesn't mean that the spirit's gone forever, which is a misconception. It just means that the spirit is no longer attached. And sometimes spirits are even attached to physical premises or objects. For instance, I'm you know, in a space right now that is inhabited by a woman who managed the place and was so attached to this place, and she's very connected to it, and she called it her second home. And a lot of people think it's haunted, but it's not haunted. It's just that she was so attached to this space as her second home that she's having a hard time disassociating from it. So it was like her heaven. And, you know, and that's how I see, and her heaven happens to be a beautiful resort on the edge of an island in the British West Indies. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, I do know what you're saying.
So I'm just saying that, you know, a spirit could be attached to a place as well, you know, a house or a dwelling or a, let's say, a boat that they loved fishing on. So that's how I see it.
Yeah. So our the best thing that we can do is, if we lose someone close to us, is let it go. Is try to move on. It's better for them and better for us. And I guess that's not to say you don't ever think about them.
Correct.
But you just let it go and move on and have your life and let them go on and have their in-between lives, I guess.
Right, right. And you know what, though? That's so easy to say.
Yeah, right.
Because I've been working with people in grief for years in this practice, and everybody travels through it differently and manifests grief in a different way. So it's easier said than done. And probably there's a couple things I highly recommend. After, I love Dr. Kubler-Ross's work she wrote about the five steps of grieving, which I find everybody moves through those at different paces and speeds and work through them at different times. And her biggest recommendation, which I always recommend to my clients, is hugging and connecting with people around you who are still here in your life and not isolating yourself. That's the biggest thing that you could probably do to incorporate spirit back in you and your life back into you and overcome grieving is connecting with the people around you. And she recommended at least 4 hugs a day just to survive as a human being. Yeah. And she recommended for us to thrive as human beings 12 hugs a day.
well, that's very interesting. Probably a good idea.
Yes, yeah. And that's probably the easiest step to help us overcome grief and reconnect with, let's say, holiday spirit right now.
Yeah. Okay. Do spirits have a sense of humor? They ever come back and make you laugh?
Yes, they do. They do. I had the first story that comes to my mind is I had a woman. I just had a group reading recently in the last month where I approached a woman in the room whose husband came to her, and she couldn't identify, believe it or not, the image he was showing me. He was showing me, he was standing in front of a motorcycle, and he was taking up his arms like a Popeye and going, you know, like he was flexing his muscles. And she's like, she denied it the whole time. But then she could connect to some of the other information I was sharing with her. Well, he kept showing me this picture because there's something funny with it. But so anyway, that night when she went home, she had written me an email that she had a picture on her refrigerator of him standing in front of a motorcycle with his arms like that. And it had been there the entire time. But she wasn't connecting to it when I was sharing with her in the room because she was so saddened. She was so grief-stricken. He was gone. She had a hard time even connecting with me and the information. So if she's having a hard time connecting with me, can you imagine her trying to make that connection with him?
Yeah, exactly.
Even on a spirit level. So, but anyway, I mean, he's just, you know, he was having fun with that picture, and that was something he always did, and she just forgot about it. But then she realized it when she saw the picture on the refrigerator.
would she get in touch with you later on and say, hey, I remember?
Yeah, she wrote me an email saying, I'm so sorry, you know, I was denying that, but here it was right in front of me, and it has been for weeks, you know.
do spirits ever say that they've died too soon, they left? You know, you see a lot of near-death experiences, right? People die, they go, and then they say, hey, you know, it's too early. You got to go back. Do you ever run across spirits that have died and actually completed the diet, you know, and didn't come back and felt remorse that they died and, you know, I didn't finish this and, you know, I shouldn't have died or something like that?
No, I think their time, they knew it was their time to go. The only remorse I think that comes through that I've seen in a lot of my consultations has been people who regret not having everything in order. Like I've had a couple partners or marriage couples say that they didn't have everything in order before they left and left such a mess to their partner. You know, like, no, you know, let's say I saw a husband who left too soon and left four kids, young children with his wife, and he supported the family and had no insurance lined up for her or the kids. You know what I'm saying? Those type of things. And that's what I've seen more so. But I think they've, you know, the soul knows when it's supposed to exit. And there's a reason, and I know it's so hard for us not to see it, or it's hard for us not to see or see it at the time because we're in so much pain. But it's for the highest good for all involved, usually.
Yeah, I can imagine that it is. So I assume that you've never run into a spirit that said, boy, I wish I was still having my life. It's more of I'm happy to be where I am.
Well, they are their home, you know, and they're usually involved doing what they love to do. Like I was expressing, this woman who loved this, you know, resort so much that it was her home and her family, the people that worked with her here. So I'm just saying they're usually engaged still with whatever their passions are or whatever they want to be doing, even on the other realm.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. What do you do? You're not eating. You're not sleeping. what are you doing? You got a lot of time on your hands, or are you busy doing other things? And if so, what are you doing?
You know, it's, from what I see, it's a parallel universe to ours. And, you know, now scientists, and you're a scientist, so you might understand this to some degree, they're starting to prove that there are parallel universes to ours. And it's just another dimension where our spirit crosses into, and we're just as actively involved. They can go to school, they can, you know, participate in activities, and they can be wrapped up and involved still with the earth dimension, which most of them are from my situation, because I'm dealing with people who are still attached to the spirits, right?
Right.
So, and, you know, for instance, I've seen, you know, a dad figure come and talk to his family, but as I was mentioning to you before, he was attached to a certain lake and he was sitting on a boat and his heaven was fishing. So that's what he was doing. Okay. And then I saw this one couple who came to a family who was a grandparents, and they loved taking Sunday rides in their car. And they showed me driving in their blue, Impala car and making a Sunday drive. And that's what they loved doing. So they were still doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So. I do, but that draws some other questions here.
Yes.
So are you saying that, do people, are there cities, are there homes?
I see just the snapshots of what they're doing at that moment in time. So I see that, you know, there's beautiful gardens. Everything's 10 times more intensified than it is here. There's schools that are like universities, and people can go back to school and do, or spirits, I should say, spirit. But they can look like different form even when they're on the other plane. So they can even take a younger persona, like they most of them come back almost younger, you know, than their older appearance when after
you mean,
they
got, that's they appear to, when they come and appear to you, they appear younger than
they can show me an image of what they look like at the time to identify with the person who, you know, who's I'm reading, but then they can show me images of them taking on this younger youthful persona that they had at a certain age, usually around their 30s or late 20s, believe it or not.
That's when they think they look the best.
Not all of them, but some of them come back like that. So, you know, so yeah, they're off and doing their things. And you know what? Here's the other thing is I see them, you know, if I'm ready to switch it on and I'm feeling really good, that's the key to mediums is, you know, we have to keep our vibration up in order to make those connections to other realms. So, you know, it means constant exercise, constant meditation, making sure I get my rest and my eating right in order to make those connections on a day-to-day basis. But what I see is sometimes they're even moving around us and doing things, even in the spaces we're in, but they're doing their own thing. Like, let's say somebody's over there washing dishes and stuff like that, but it's in a different part of the dwelling that could have existed before we existed here. You know what I'm saying? So, and they're walking among us, but they don't see this realm. Some of them don't see this realm like we don't see that realm.
So some of them can interface with our realm, just like some of us, like you, can interface with their realm.
Yes, and I'm not the only, you know, I'm out here as a professional medium. I do it day to day. It's not my hobby, okay? But there are people who, you know, don't do this for a professional living. And most often, their young children are great conduits and mediums to the spirit world because they haven't been phased yet by society, okay? And so most often your children, before they're the age of 5 or 6, the children among us will might have experiences and they'll bring forth messages, okay? And older people who are getting close to death, I find are pretty open and receptive to having those experiences too, you know, to higher realms. But, you know, I'm not, you know, just because I say I'm a professional, it doesn't mean that there aren't some people out there who are more sensitive and open and receptive to these realms as well.
Do you ever read any of Ian Stevenson where biology and reincarnation intersect?
No, I didn't read any of that material, but I do believe that past lives has a play in all this as well. Yes.
Yeah, because he focused on children, and he would say that he had thousands of he did this for 25 years. He was right. A professor at University of Virginia, and he had so many examples of children that were usually 4 or 5 years old, maybe,
yes,
that had these very, very rigid memories of another life. Yeah, of a past life, and they would be able to go and identify families and so on and so forth. And then it was interesting that most of them forgot it, all these memories, by the time they were 10 and 10, 12,
yep,
and they all forgot it sometime in their teens. You know, everyone's
right.
It's all gone.
Right.
So it kind of backs up exactly what you're saying, that that the younger people can have are probably more in touch. Well, they're certainly closer to it, but then they don't have all the other stuff to deal with like we do in our day lives.
Right, which blocks it. My daughter is 9 and she could probably tell you about 4 or 5 different past life experiences she's had that have popped
really?
Up. Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that you're bringing this up is I had these experiences, too, as a child. And I have a couple nieces and nephews that are starting to have these experiences as well. The thing is the reason they get cut off is because there's an adult or some sort of authority figure that dismisses and doesn't believe them. And that's when it gets shut off. Fortunately, I have a family that's very open and receptive, even though I come from a Catholic Protestant mixed family, okay? And religion could be another way that kids get shut off, you know, parents who are scared, authority figures, teachers who get scared, and that's how it gets shut off.
Okay.
But if you have a culture or a family environment that is open and willing to discuss it and talk about it freely, I think the kid has a chance of sustaining. And quite honestly, I think these abilities to make those those connections, I think, is important for our future to sustain our race. It's almost important for our survival instincts to develop these skills again.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I certainly would agree with you that if people realized what the world was really about. We have a lot of strange concepts that we're educated with from various aspects. But if people really realized how the world really works, and that there is a spiritual realm, and we have a purpose here, I think you would act very differently, and the world would be a very different place if everybody understood that. There's a lot of things. I mean, take that incident yesterday in California. I do not. That that young couple could have done that if they'd have truly realized who they were and how they were.
Right. They're, you know what? They're disconnected from spirit. They're lost souls. They're disconnected from the true spirit within them, and that we're all connected to. And scared of fear overtakes that. And fear is what blocks us from making those connections. Even that's why I said I have to work hard in order to keep fear at a minimum. Not to say I don't have my fears, but to, you know, work on myself every day in order to keep those blocks open and receptive so I can make those connections for people. So they, you know, fear and hatred and sorrow and depression and avarice and all those congregate. Those are what build the blocks and disconnect us from other people. And that's when we start to see the activity we see in our world.
So how do you reach those? Say you knew the day before that or a week before or whatever that these people were in that situation. Mm-hmm. How do you reach them?
Any idea? I know this is going to sound woo-woo, all right, but I know this works miracles, okay? And I can just say, use it in your own personal life, okay? Saying that if you have a conflict with somebody or somebody's in angst like that and you know they're going down and they're having trouble and you can see the anger manifest around them or you feel like you can't connect or reach them, the best thing that I've seen miracles occur is send them love. It's 10 times more powerful than fear. But people don't understand the power of love. They think it's woo-woo. They think it's ethereal. It's just ethereal, and it doesn't do anything. And, the power it has, as well as the word, sending out that love vibration to them and seeing them and expecting them to rise above and to do well in the world instead of otherwise. So if we put our attention there and exert our energy towards a love vibe, because those vibrations are so contagious, like fear and hate. Fear and hate to me is like a fireball that hits a forest and the forest flames up and burns and at such a rapid pace. That's what's happening in our world right now. It's the fear, it's the hate, it's anger that is just piling on top of each other. But if we change our day-to-day existence, and we can each and every one of us do this, shift our energy and not feed that fear, not feed that hate, not feed that anger, but choose love over that moment, in that moment in time, we can change this vibration effortlessly and easily. But now, that takes consciousness.
It does. And it's not easy to do. And I agree with you that it sounds woo-woo. And I also agree with you that it's far more important than anybody, can really realize. It's what it's all about. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And how much it works. And the other thing that I find interesting is that you can send energy to other people.
Yes. Yes, that's what that I mean. If a group of people, and we've got monks that are hibernating in caves around the world, and and spiritual leaders that are sitting there praying. Quite honestly, I think sooner or later, sometimes the shit has to hit, excuse my language, has to hit the fan before everybody wakes up. And sometimes we have to get really into the dark night of the soul before we realize the light exists and we have the power to switch on the light.
I think you're right. And I think that more and more people are beginning to recognize that. I really feel that the world is, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that are beginning to sing this same song. And maybe it's because the world got so dark that more and more people are coming down here to address that issue.
Yeah. It's sad, but you can't sit in that sadness because, again, no, that's part of the fear.
Yeah, and it's part of what we have to learn. Do you think suffering is something that we're supposed to learn? You think that's one of the lessons that we're here for?
I think in that, you know, again, it's like without the dark, without that suffering sometimes, then you can't see the light. You know, we don't know. If we sat in light all the time, in glorious light, we wouldn't have those experiences to learn. So, like, for instance, you know, I was so scared. I'll just tell you a quick story here. I was so scared of this ability. And I told you, you know, how children start to have these experiences. I had these experiences as a little kid, and it scared me and scared me and scared me. It was making me so bad that I had an eating disorder that finally I had a heart failure. Because it got so bad. I had my near-death experience. When I woke up, I realized there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be scared about. And I was told I have this ability in order to share it with others. Okay, so I had to realize I'm okay. I'm okay with this ability. I'm okay to come out in the Midwest where it was unaccepted that I'm, you know, that I can do this, okay? And I can share it with other people. So, you know, you have to sometimes have those experiences in order to realize your light.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking with Laura Lee, internationally renowned medium. Laura, I know we have a purpose. What do you think our purpose is? Here in life, life to life, what do you think our purpose is?
Well, we can go on a micro level and say every soul has their own purpose. You know, when they come into their body, you, Dave, have a purpose. I have a separate purpose. But together, combined, we're all working towards the same goal. And I think, you know, it's a game that we're all working towards a unified goal to realize it's all love. But, you know, it's taking us years and years and years, and we keep repeating some of the same mistakes.
we do. It's hard to learn some of these lessons. So yeah. So you would say that our goal here in this period, and if you think about, you know, we're living for eternity, this is, you know, these lives are really snapshots.
Yes.
And so this is the period that we're learning the power and importance of love. Is that what you're saying?
I believe we are working towards, that the realm of angels, where everything is, to that perfection, to the, praises, and there's peace and love and joy. And, how we get there, I don't know. I don't know the details, but I do know if everybody tuned in to find out what their purpose is and stay connected to that purpose, you know, walking, which can change and shift in different forms. You know, I started out in communications and got a degree in business communications, worked in the corporate area before I realized I had to leave it after I healed and everything from my own, you know, path, and realized I had to channel, I had to walk through this path. And I'm still in communications. Different form. Okay. So you have to stay tuned in and listen to your heart, because that's where your happiness is going to be. Your happiness, your love in your heart, whatever draws you, that vibe is God speaking to you. If you want to call it God, or you want to call it the universe or spirit, that's what's guiding you on this path. And you stay connected to that zone, you're going to do everybody else good, because you're good there. So that's how I see it. But, we get lost, on the path sometimes. And that loss can mean that, somebody, gets us into that zone where we want to hate and be angry about things. It's not serving anybody. Certainly doesn't serve you.
Right.
Yeah. It's a human experience, though, and I mean, we're going to experience it. You know, it just happens. So, right. Gotta be conscious.
I see the ultimate goal as the perfection of the soul, and I think you never get there. And this is a piece. This is a piece of it. But
yes.
You can always do better.
And as
we go and as we grow, I think you find that even the very, very advanced spirits who we would look at and say, now that's a perfect being, would tell you, well, I still can improve. I can still learn something. I can still do this.
Oh, yes.
I don't think there's an end.
I think it was continue.
Who are our spirit guides? I assume you probably know your spirit guide pretty well, or guides. Are there guides? Do you have?
Okay, so here's how I define spirit guides, and everybody has a different interpretation.
Okay,
you know, we have our dearly departed, which can serve as spirit guides. Okay, so let's say Grandpa, you weren't connected to him, but he was a entrepreneur. He was really good with money and managing money, and all of a sudden he appears by your side and he's helping you through the same transition. Okay, so they can be a guide, and they come and go during your life, depending on what you're going through at that time. A spirit guide can also encompass, like I said, a neighbor, a colleague, somebody you might have crossed paths with in your life for a period of time who can bring forth a skill set or some information to help you wherever you are at that time. A spirit guide can also encompass an animal. This can be an animal that, you, let's say, lived with you at a certain point of your life. That was
like a
pet. It can also be, you know, a bigger guide. Let's say, you know, like, for instance, sometimes I work with people and I'll say, you know, I see an eagle really big around you flying overhead, and they laugh and they go, well, yeah, I love eagles. And in fact, I got a tattoo of an eagle. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, or I'll say, hey, you know, I see a tiger around you, and the big thing, a tiger, and this person's like, oh, I love tigers, and I donate my time to a rescue tiger facility. Do you know, I've had people say stuff like that. So, I mean, those are usually guides in your life because they also impart certain messages in our lives and give us skill sets that we need to incorporate spiritually in order to move forward in life. So, spirit guides can also be spirits that haven't manifested in full form that might be guiding us from other realms. Like angels. Angels can be guides. And, you know, some people beg to differ that they don't exist. But, you know, having been out there for years and years, I've studied so many different religions. They are across the books in all the holy books, but maybe be called different words, you know, from Elohim to angels, you know, but those are messengers that come and guide us as well and give us skill sets. So
now an angel would be somebody like us, say, who in the future have learned the lessons of life and are now not in this karmic cycle that we're in.
No, they're not in the karmic cycle. In fact, they can't even identify with lower vibration energies because it's all, you know, they relate only to goodwill. I mean, in the sense of high vibrations, of peace, love, and joy, you know, they're in that realm.
But they were once in this realm, right?
Not necessarily.
Really?
No. And in fact, but I will say this, they will manifest in physical form in order to assist. You know, you've heard of stories of people having an experience. They might be, you know, in a tragic car accident, and all of a sudden they say somebody saved them, pulled them outside the road, and then that person doesn't even exist anymore. You know, they try to go look for them, and they can't find them. So angels can occur and present themselves in a physical dense form. And they can also present themselves in a form that you might identify with, and let's say a colleague or a friend, and then disappear. You know, and your friend will say, well, I don't remember saying that. But, you know, and it'll be something that resonates within you. So sometimes they can manifest form in that capacity. But I'll tell you a quick story. I love this story. A woman that was going through cancer, and I wrote a story about her because she started going to the Catholic Church and getting counseled by a priest that she just adored and trusted his counsel. And she said, he was so beautiful, Laura, I couldn't even look him at in the eyes because he was so good looking and his eyes were piercing blue. But she would still go talk and counsel, you know, get counsel with him. And she was going through chemo, so her skin was going all, you know, her skin and her appearance was really ragged, she said, during that time. And she was connecting to also her guides, who at that time happened to be her mother and her grandmother, who guided her to start a cosmetic line for women going through chemotherapy. So she started a cosmetic line and named it after Hope. She called it Hope Cosmetics. And she's out in California. Anyway, she went back to tell this priest after an extended period of time getting counsel from him. She went back to the church to tell him that she got the clear and that she's cancer free. Okay. And she walked into the church one day and was looking for him and talked to another priest and a few others there. And she asked where Father so-and-so was. And they said he doesn't exist. He wasn't here. They didn't know any priest name. Whatever he was at the time. She's like, no, I've been counseling with him for months. And they're like, no, you must be crazy. There's no priest here by that name. And so I remember that story so well because I had written an article on it.
Right.
Contributed, but I love how they will make manifest in order to help people through a trying time like that for short periods of time. But I don't see them incarnating for any length of time like us.
Yeah, they just pop in, help
yes.
us, and move
yes.
out.
Yeah.
Reincarnation.
Yes, I love that subject.
It's a neat subject.
Yeah.
How long between lives? Any idea?
I think it's up to the soul.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, here's the other thing. You know, we were talking about different dimensions, and I was talking about spirits on other planes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given visions before where our past lives are happening simultaneously and overlapping our lives currently. So this
now, you know, I've heard that too, and I struggle with it because I can't conceive of it.
I know. So here's so let me suggest this, okay? Because I work with, as I'm a alternative healer as well, you know, as a medium, and then working with Reiki and energy healing and stuff like that. So when I'm working with somebody and they're trying to overcome a block, that block manifests through other past lives. And some people really have that belief where if they deal with it in a past life, then it's going to change and shift for all their other lifetimes. But I see there's like a layer. It's happening layer after layer after layer. And it's just all laying on top of one another in different dimensions. And that's kind of how the vision I've been given and seen. So, you know, when you said that there's a continuum and that it's eternity, that our souls are channeling and going through these experiences, and it's never ending, and that can be the case too. So I feel like it's all one and the same, if that makes sense. I'm talking in,
you know, circles. I'll tell you my problem with it is if, you know, we it seems to me that we learn in series. In other words, if we learned everything at once and everything was happening simultaneously, poof, wouldn't we all of a sudden have it all and that would be the end of it? And it seems to me that it's happening in pieces. And then when I look at near death experience, well, past more in past life experiences, where yeah. where people have a trauma and it takes them a number of lives maybe to deal with the trauma of that karma that they were working their way
yes.
through.
Yes.
But that seems to me a series of lives. And we go back and we think, you know, if they were all happening at once, I don't get how it would work. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, but this is why, because we still hadn't learned it.
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, this is why, all right, let's take it on a bigger level, okay, on a macro level. You know, quite honestly, I think what's going on right now can relate to what was happening during the Roman eras, okay? So if you get my gist, in the sense that the more the populace was entertained, the more stuff that was happening behind the scenes, okay? And I feel like we keep repeating in history and we still haven't learned. And the one learning that's so simple that nobody embraces and everybody misses is that love shift. It's just so simple. It's the love shift. Because if I'm going to continue to send out that anger and that hate, which is such a natural part of our experience as a human being, I'm going to continue and propel the same energy outward that happened even in past generations, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I certainly can see, and I think it happens in all of our lives, where we go through some experience and maybe we don't handle it as well as we should have. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, we're doing the same thing again. And maybe 10 years later, we're doing the same thing again. And I think society is the same way.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And we go through these, you know, which basically says that maybe we're not getting it. Not only are we having trouble with our decades, maybe we're having trouble with multiple lives. And we gotta get our act together here. But I absolutely understand what you're saying in that respect, and I think that's right. I truly think that's right. It's an absolutely interesting phenomena that we go through on this stuff. And
it's an amazing
world, and to see how it works. And it must be fascinating for you to be able to touch into that.
Well, you know, I don't have all the answers, and I don't claim to at all. You know, only my perceptions from the years of working with people and having my own insights and revelations while working with people and seeing the dynamics. But you know, you're right. It's so complex.
It is. It's incredibly complex and fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
We have Laura Lee with us here today, and we're about to wrap up. We've run out of time. I have not run out of questions, but I have.
I loved our conversation.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to say to the listeners, or you know what you're doing, or how they should get in touch with you, or find out what you're doing?
Oh, thank you. Everybody who's out there who would like to connect, you can reach me at the website, which is very simple, mediumlauralee.com, and all my contact information is there and available. And, you know, I'm a guest frequently on radio shows now that I'm not producing or on my own show, so people can usually call in and connect with me that way. So, or they can reach me at mediumlauralee.com. So,
okay. That is great. Laura, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been both entertaining and educational, and good luck in all your many endeavors. And I am sure our listeners would love to have you back sometime in the future.
Thank you, Dave.
Happy holidays to you. Clearly, if we can communicate with the spiritual world, people don't cease to exist at death. And if life goes on, someone must be in control of this cosmos. This knowledge is huge. I look forward to sharing my thoughts with you every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Common Sense Spirituality Show on W4CY.com. Note that all of our past episodes are available on iHeartRadio.com. Remember, if you have any questions about today's show or suggested topics for future shows, then send me a note through my website, davidgagan.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it is, without doubt, an amazingly good news story. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are an unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly imagine. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.